Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Welcome to Good Morning Football. We are presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky in New York City, best city in the land. It's November 8th. My name is Kay Adams, Peter Schrager, Kyle Branter here, and he is a two-time Super Bowl champion, a six-time Pro Bowl running back who ran for over 11,000 yards. We'll probably drink 11,000 coffees today. Great friend of the show, LeSean McCoy.
Show ya! What up?
It's like I'm home here. Uh-huh. Be here.
You just waltz in here with your Hermes belt and your watch going, your ears.
She knows style. She knows
style. Clearly, I'm a shot with you. I do not. Wow. I clearly have to change my outfit for tomorrow to keep up with you. Love that you're here. Lots to talk about. A lot of weird storylines, plot lines, teams taking down juggernauts. It was fun. And you'll notice the pins we're wearing, speaking of fashion, in honor of the NFL Salute to Service campaign. It is our year-round effort to honor, to celebrate, to empower, to connect with the nation's service members, veterans, and their families. And you can learn more about the NFL's work with its longstanding military and veteran nonprofit partners by visiting NFL.com/salute. As for now, what a game last night between the Titans and the Rams. It's time for the lead block.
Let's get to the lead block. All right, so if last week was Hero Backup Quarterback Week, is this week great teams getting their butts kicked week? What? Certainly the Rams wouldn't happen to them. They're at home. They got Matthew Stafford. They got Von Miller now, who did not play because of an ankle injury. But what if I were to tell you that it was all about the Titans' pass rush? We have an interstitial of Matthew Stafford getting sacked. It's Danico Autry. It's Jeffrey Simmons, who had three sacks in the first half. The Rams' O-line just getting beaten and battered, and there was all sorts of talk afterwards. Well, there were coverage sacks. And I don't know. How about this? 28-16. Cooper Kupp, 11 catches, great, but we didn't show any of them because it didn't really matter. The Titans are 7-2. Yeah. Let's hear from Mike Vrabel, who talked about confidence, and Sean McVay, whose energy was still up at 1,000. Take it away, coaches.
Success leads to confidence. You know, going out there and being able to view it, continue to improve, and that's the message. We're better now than what we were to start the season. And that's the most important thing in the National Football League, is that you find ways to continue to improve. I mean, you obviously have to find ways to win, but along the way, you got to find ways to get better.
We're not going to allow one game to define us. I don't think that's reflective of the type of football team we are. We had a rough night, and it really seemed like kind of that was kind of the narrative for the night. You know, really it was, you know, a lot of those things that occurred that are uncharacteristic. And I choose to believe that tonight was not the reflection of who we are.
Well said by the coach there. No Derrick Henry, though, and Tennessee got the job done. Their offense was struggling a bit to start. Their defense came to play, something that I've been critical of all season long, and they get it done when they need it. Shrags, what did you make? It was pretty convincing for the Titans last night.
Not only did they beat the Rams, they beat them up in like a way that was so physical that I didn't see that happening. You think they lose Derrick Henry that this Titans team was going to suddenly become a passing offense and we're going to spread it out. They did the same thing that we thought the Rams would do to them. They beat them up in the trenches, and the pass rush was incredible. It wasn't just pass rush. They got to Stafford, and then they beat him down. It was sack after sack after sack. Kyle, you mentioned it. Jeffrey Simmons had three in the first half. Mm-hmm. He's a former first-round pick. It's been a couple years since he's got going, and now he's going. He's the guy. Danico Autry, free agent signing. Bud Dupree, free agent signing. Their defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, outside linebackers coach for years, gets promoted to defensive coordinator. This is what the Titans were missing in recent years. And Kay, you said you've been critical of the defense. I've been critical of the defense because empirically, from the data, the last few years, pass rush, it's been woeful. Look at this stat here I want to bring up here. This is all of 2020. They were 19 in total sacks. We are 9 weeks through the season. They have 23 sacks. They're tied for fifth in the entire NFL. Okay. And they're getting after the quarterback. Stafford looked bruised. He looked battered. Kyle, I know you were blown away by the defense, too, just based on our pre-show call. But I didn't see it going down like this.
No, it was incredible. They had the feeling of like they went in and beat up the Hollywood elite. You know, like the Rams are so pretty, and they got this cool stadium, and they got the cool players.
I can see that.
And they're like, I don't care. We don't have 12 stars like you guys do. All we have is a few guys to beat you up. What do you think, Shady?
And the way they played that defense, I swear, it's like you hear about this great offense all week. Oh, they're so great. They're so good. Matt Stafford, he's making these plays, making that play. And you hear about it consistently.
Yeah.
So you come out on Sunday, you want to prove yourself. And it looked like the defense actually proved itself. Peter, you talked about it. They beat him up front. It was aggressive. It was a physical, like nightmare for Matt Stafford. And then also, like, when I look at the whole game, they play well together. Like, you lose your best player, so you automatically think that, okay, lose the best true. Player, they're going to go downhill. No, they kept playing. They made plays. They converted on third downs, and they played great defense. They won the game.
What do you think about that? Like, we talked about this a lot last week. Derrick Henry's, the whole offense, is everything. I had this thing where, like, if you lose your best player, sure, it hurts on paper, yeah. but it's so much more complicated than that. Like, all you hear about is you're going to get your butts kicked. And meanwhile, this is a team now, this Titans, they've beaten the Bills, they destroyed the Chiefs, they beat the Colts, that's they true. Beat up the Rams. Like, they are absolutely on fire right now. And I, if anything, I think they were pissed and motivated that, like, we're nothing without Derrick Henry. You know, it's like Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams. We can sing too, right, okay? Right, right. Just because they're not here, we still know how to sing. And I was impressed as hell.
I think you got to give them credit, though. Like, we don't give them enough credit. They're a team that are playing well together.
They were not playing very well to start the season at all, like offensive. Nothing was good. And now they are a great team. Like, they're the defense stepping up just tells you a lot about that team.
They lose a big one to the Cardinals early, right? Mm-hmm. And they kind of get it together. I mean, they come in and they beat the Chiefs, right? Even though Chiefs are not playing great, they still are the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Then the Colts, they come back and rally back. They beat the Colts twice. Mm-hmm. It's hard to beat a divisional opponent and sweep them, you know what I'm saying, the whole year. Mm-hmm. So we played them 2 years ago, right, with the Chiefs, championship game. And we were not, like, blown away. Like, this team's not that good. They're going to run the ball. They're just okay. They had us about 20-some points in the first half. But it's time to give them credit. They find a way to win.
Well, they came into it number one in the AFC. So that's already pressure on your shoulders. You lose your best player. And now I look at their very interesting position there in sole possession still of the AFC. Their second half schedule, guys, very fun.
Nice.
Very fun.
For them, it is. Take a listen. They've got the Saints next week. The Saints have a bucket load of problems of their own. They have the Patriots week 12. And then they have the Steelers week 15. Those the only teams in playoff position that they face the rest of the way. It is a whole lot of Texans. It is a whole lot of Dolphins and Jags. So if the defense can keep playing like this, Kyle, I don't know, and the offense can find a rhythm, which they sort of were lacking last night, but not too much. They've got AJ back. Everything's clicking. Like I said, I wanted to see all three phases of this team play the same way, and they're unstoppable. It looks like they are that in the AFC.
It was an unbelievably great win on national television. I would just ask this. It's Monday morning. We're doing backflips for the Tennessee Titans, who I think rode an emotional wave this week. LaShawn, I look at you. There's no Derrick Henry. He's not coming back. Can they keep this up, or was this just a nice night for them on the offense part?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, okay, it's obvious that the Rams didn't play well on offense, which we're not used to seeing, right? But I do think that this is like a test. Can we get it done without Derrick Henry? And the answer is yes. They proved it. They proved it last night. I think if the defense plays well like this and the offense can just manage the game, because Ryan Tannehill, he's used to that, managing the game. If they can do that, this is a formula that they can win with.
Yeah, and quick shout out. They're missing three different defensive backs who are all starters at some point. And I got to say, he came on our show. But if there's any award, we
give
it to Kevin Byard. Let's give it to him.
Byard
is fantastic.
Great play.
And is playing like an all-pro safety. Let's go to another game in the AFC here. Browns and Bengals in Cincinnati. Last time we saw the Bengals, they lost to the Jets. Last time we saw the Browns, they lost to the Steelers. Who wins this one? This was all Cleveland. In a big AFC North showdown. Third and goal. That's Denzel Ward. That's 99 yards. That is a touchdown. Browns go up 7-0. That's Burrow's 10th interception this season. And that is a huge game changer right from go. The Browns are back, baby. 41-16. An absolute smackdown.
Damn.
Of the Bengals, and the Browns are right back in the playoff picture.
Bengals lose again. Donovan Peoples-Jones, what a game he had, and it was dominant. And we welcome in Ian Rappaport this morning. Taking a look at the AFC, Odell Beckham on his way out of Cleveland. Let's talk next steps for him, because I was watching this game thinking, okay, Odell, how would he have fit in? Were they better with Alf without him? Lots of questions. What are some answers?
You know, we're starting to get some answers about whether or not they're better off without him. The Browns denied it for so long, really tough to deny it now. But Odell Beckham is going to have his new team in due time. Here's the mechanics of how his mutual release, his mutual parting of ways, is going to work. He is officially going to go on waivers today. So despite all the discussion about Odell Beckham's release, despite players wearing shirts that said free Odell, even though he actually was already freed, he hadn't hit waivers yet. So that is going to happen today. Between today and tomorrow, somebody can claim him. We will find out at 4 p.m. tomorrow whether or not he's claimed. If a team claims him, they owe him $7.2 million for the rest of the season. That is a lot. That K makes it highly unlikely that a team would claim him just because the salary is so great for a player, you know, very, very talented, but you'd have some questions about. If he is not claimed, then he is a free agent. He could sign with whoever he wants after Tuesday at 4. And at that point, $4.25 million will be charged to the Browns, so they get $3 million in savings. if he is not claimed, and Beckham would get to choose his new team.
It's an exciting weekend. You're all over it. We'll keep checking in on that. Meanwhile, the Cardinals win. The Dolphins win, both with backup quarterbacks yesterday. But what's the deal with Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa, especially in a week where we're going to see the Dolphins on a short week on Thursday night?
Well, let's start with Kyler dealing with an ankle sprain. And I know they talked about a potential game-time decision. It didn't seem like it was really a game-time decision. It seemed pretty clear late in the week that he was not going to play. And Colt McCoy took all the snaps, looked comfortable, really looked pretty good. And now for this ankle sprain with Kyle, you do not need to rush him back. So where it stands, from my understanding, is he does have a chance to play next week, but it is not a guarantee. It's not a certainty. It's a long season. They would like to get him healthy. Meanwhile, for Tua Tagovailoa, a little bit of a surprise because there was some optimism earlier in the week that he'd be able to go, but he has a tiny fracture on a middle finger of his throwing hand. He actually did do a pregame workout, and it wasn't a pain tolerance issue. It was a he just couldn't throw far enough issue just because of that injury. And now he's got a short week. They play Thursday night. It seems to be up in the air whether or not he'll actually be able to go. So we may see two games in a row of Jacoby Brissett rather than Tua.
Interesting. Thanks for the update there. As far as the Cardinals, the Bucs had a bye, but the Saints, the Rams, the Cowboys, the Packers all lost in the NFC yesterday. They got themselves a W.
All right, Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur having a discussion. You got this, big fella. You got this. You're a first-round pick. Let's go.
Does Mahomes got it?
I don't know if either one had it. In this it was a lot of, hey, it's my first NFL start, and I'm playing an Arrowhead with a screaming crowd, and I'm trying to figure things out on the fly. Wasn't pretty. 13-7. Chiefs get the win. Neither team looked great, but the Chiefs have won their second straight. Here's Patrick Mahomes with the victory.
It was a battle all day long. I mean, we felt like we had good plays and that we were moving the ball, and then we'd stall out. And it kind of all day it felt like that. And then at the end of the day, when we had a chance to go down there and really win it, after the defense had played a great game, guys stepped up and made plays.
Chiefs win before division leaders lost. Dallas, Las Vegas, Buffalo, and those Green Bay Packers. They've got a big one in week 10 up against another NFC team, the Seattle Seahawks. Ian Rappaport joining us now. Rodgers is on the COVID-19 list. He didn't play yesterday, of course. We saw Jordan Love. It wasn't great. What needs to happen for him to be back on the field for Green Bay this week?
First of all, the week of practice is basically going to belong to Jordan Love because Aaron Rodgers' case is not allowed in the building. He's still quarantining until Saturday. So all of the practice reps that Jordan Love wants and potentially needs, he's going to get them. So they're going to move forward with him as their practice quarterback. Then you get to Saturday. That will be 10 days since Aaron Rodgers tested positive. Of course, as we know now, he is unvaccinated. So here are the rules that will make him eligible to get cleared on Saturday and then play in Sunday's game against the Seahawks. He basically has to have no fever, and he reported that as of now he doesn't have symptoms, although he did early. Any symptoms he has must be improved, so he must basically be no fever, symptom-free. He must have his return approved by a doctor, so not a team doctor, but an independent doctor, and then it has to be 10 days. All of this means, unless Aaron Rodgers has symptoms, he is going to be cleared. He is going to be eligible to play, and then you'd think, even though he hadn't practiced at all, it's Aaron Rodgers, so he'll probably be out there playing.
Of course, and we'll have updates on Russell Wilson, I'm sure, going into this one. Two of our favorite quarterbacks in the NFL. We'd love to see them both back on the field for Week 10 against each other. Those games are always weird between those two squads. Thank you so much, Ian Rappaport. Talk to you in a bit. No Aaron Rodgers. We saw Jordan Love. Kyle, your impressions of this game, this Chiefs narrow victory over the Jordan Love-led Packers.
Yes. So Aaron Rodgers has a wild week. He has a very memorable, very unusual Friday. Saturday, he's the cold open on Saturday Night Live. Pete Davidson plays him with the shirt and everything, and it's this is Friday, this is Saturday, and then I think Aaron Rodgers had a great Sunday. Like Aaron Rodgers was the winner of that game because we were going to be showing that game for months and months and months in the offseason, if not years, because Jordan Love didn't have it. And listen, his first start, fine. It's at Arrowhead, fine. Not a rookie. This is not a guy who's just fresh out of college. And I don't care what his stats were. I don't even care if he won. You just look for something like, okay, we can work with that. Just didn't have it. Aaron Rodgers, I think, obviously wins this game. I think Blake Bortles wins this game if he plays for the Packers. I really do. It was that bad. Because the question now, the only thing that Jordan Love did a favor for was the Chiefs. Because there's two questions on this. Again, What the hell was that from Kansas City? It's the second win in a row where they win, and Mahomes is explaining it afterwards as if they lost. So, look, we've talked about this. The entire industry has talked about this. It is this question of what is wrong with the Chiefs' offense. They scored 13 points. LaShawn, you want a Super Bowl wrong with the Chiefs. What is wrong with the Chiefs' offense? Because I'm out of ideas.
I can't give you the right answer because I don't know.
Really?
It's tough. I mean, it looks so different. It looks so different. I'm used to putting a lot of points up. I seen Mahomes had 166 yards at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to seeing that for a first half.
That was his career low in a game that he's played.
Yeah.
That's career low.
So just looking at it, I mean, they look so different. The defense played like that, right? Shutting that team down, okay? They should be putting up points, 30 points. I'm used to seeing that. I'm used to seeing the connection between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. You know, sometimes in the zones, they can find, he finds the zones. Pat and Kelce. Tyreek Hill, all the guys are playing so far back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm used to seeing like the short immediate passes and then getting 5-6 extra yards. So they look so different. I think they're trying to find themselves. Sometimes when you're struggling, you're trying to press. It looks like they're trying to press because they know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They know that it's a big-time offense. They're just not playing like it. So I'm sure Andy Reid's up there right now this morning watching the show, trying to dial it up, draw it up. They got to find a way, man. They got to because the defense is actually playing better the last two games.
I think any quarterback in the NFL was beating that Packers team yesterday. Literally
anybody.
Anyone.
I agree.
And Mahomes didn't play well. Mahomes did not play well, and the team looks completely out of sync. And there's reason for concern. I know it's weird that they won two games, and we come on the next day and we're like doing the funeral for the Chiefs, but they might just be a team that's 5-4 and in the middle of the pack because Jordan Love was so bad in that first half, and the Packers were so bad to be hanging around down 13-0 in the second half. You're like, no, this game should be 45-0. I can't wake up this morning and be like, Chiefs got it back on track. They have it.
Let's talk about the Browns. Baker Mayfield put up maybe his best performance of the season without him on the field against the Bengals. What impressed us most from this one? We've got Vikings-Ravens highlights coming up.
All right, Vikings-Ravens. Mike Zimmer made a lot of trips to Baltimore when he was with Cincinnati for all those years. I wonder if he's got some memories of those to share. I don't know. Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins.
That was a great drive by Cousins. 1 minute left, takes him all the way down the field.
Did they win the game?
They did not.
They did not because Justin Tucker never,
does it again.
Ever misses. 36-yard field goal attempt. Good night. The Vikings lose to get to 3-5. Nothing's over in the NFC. There's a 6-7 spot that somebody has to get. Meanwhile, the Ravens 6-2 and cruising. What's up, Lamar?
Let's stay in the AFC North here. Bengals and Browns. Ravens got their win. Who'd get the win here? Baker coming off a questionable performance against the Steelers last week. Bengals even worse against the Jets. Odell Beckham's gone. Donovan Peoples-Jones, we need you to step up.
Peoples-Jones.
DPJ. Wow. Nick Chubb, what did you say earlier in the show, LaShawn McCoy?
The best running back in football.
That's a take. It's a blowout for the Browns. Bengals, two straight losses. Browns get back into things. Here's Baker Mayfield, who was wearing a ratty white t-shirt and a sling and a sport coat.
We'll take wins any way we can get them. And that's, I came here to win. I've said it over and over again. That's why I was brought here, to change the culture, to help change the culture. And continue to contribute, you know, towards that winning attitude. And, you know, our guys are bought in. They focused up and did their job, and that needs to be a week-to-week thing.
Baker rocking the Browns. Salute to service hat. Gotta love that. Long week for him and his team. All the drama starting the departure of Odell Beckham Jr. Mayfield proved yesterday maybe the star receiver isn't needed there to find success for this team. Guys, after the week the Browns just went through, how telling was this win over the Bengals? Or are we overlooking it?
You know, it's like Odell hasn't been a huge part of the team this season. And last year in the playoff run, like, I didn't feel like Odell was that guy. I think Odell Beckham's going to be fine. He'll end up somewhere else. He'll play a role this season. But I don't look at yesterday as like, look, addition by subtraction. Once they got rid of Odell, they're just fine. I do think there's some players in that locker room who are like, Odell hasn't been anything this year for us. He hasn't been that guy. So, you know, if his dad wants a tweet and LeBron wants a tweet and Marcus Stroman wants to tweet, that's fine. We're going to be just okay. Like, we'll be okay on this one. I thought Baker got healthier over the last couple weeks. I think Baker looked good. And I think that's a team win that has nothing to do with Odell Beckham. And today, like, I think there's going to be a lot of thoughts on, look, they're better without Odell. They've been better without Odell for the last couple of years. Like, Odell was not going to play a role in this game one way or the other. This team just outplayed the Bengals in Cincinnati, and it looks like they got their groove back. 5-4, they're right back in this thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm so excited to see the emerging role of Donovan Peoples-Jones. Give him a shot to go out there and prove himself. Look at this team. All they do is really run the ball and play action. Mm-hmm. So Odell, he's like a guy who needs a couple receptions to get going. They just run the ball and take play action. So he wasn't really part of that team, I think, when he got there. Just the name.
Yeah, it was a huge name, and that boiled down to it. That's why we talked about it so much. I wish they had something every single week where someone's dad would make a video slutting Baker. Because I saw a meme this weekend, all right?
It's the
Baker Mayfield cycle. Play like bleep, criticized by media, underdog mentality, beat inferior opponent, call out doubters, play like bleep, criticized by media. It just goes.
Yeah.
And this was apparently the beat inferior opponent portion of the Baker Mayfield cycle. Baker likes this stuff. He likes to be called out. It's this old fashioned thing he has where the no scholarship walk-on player comes out and absolutely looks like John Elway. Next week, is he going to do that again? I don't know. This was a resounding walloping of a division rival, which I absolutely respect. Again, we're at this point in the season where I'd say the same thing about the Titans. Sustainability. Like, are we going to be having this conversation next week about Baker, or does he throw two more picks?
I don't know.
The Patriots.
Okay, well, there you go.
Well, here's the thing. Everything went his way. Nick Chubb's out there averaging 10 yards a carry. He was spotted a pick six.
Yep.
Like, things were like, the weight of the offense wasn't on his shoulders. The defense was fine. There's misleading numbers. I just want to prove out the other side. I don't know if Baker's better without Odell, but nobody does.
And I like where she's going.
Everyone that keeps putting up this stupid misleading statistic the 16 games with Odell, right? 16 of those games were with Freddie Kitchens. Mm-hmm.
Right.
With Stefanski, I mean, come on. All of those games without Odell have been with Kevin Stefanski. If you look at it, in the Stefanski area, they're 8-5 with Odell, 14-11 without him. So the narrative that Baker is better without Odell, I don't think we know yet. I just don't think we know because we had a different head coach that clearly turned the entire culture of the team around.
Right. Okay, can I say one thing? Because I agree with
please
you.
Please say.
Whatever
right?
you like.
She was going somewhere, right?
Tell me.
I want to ask you guys a serious question.
All right.
Do you think the reason why the Browns run the ball so much is because they probably have the best running back in football and Kareem Hunt, the backup, is really, really good? Or do you think they run the ball that much to protect Baker Mayfield?
Mm-hmm.
Not put the ball in his hands. Let's give him a little bit of time, right? He's a first-round draft pick, right? He's not the best one in his class, so let's be safe. What do you think? Because I'm always asking myself this question.
See, I think Baker can play. I saw about 6 or 7 weeks in a row last year where he did not turn the ball over, did not throw an interception, and destroyed Pittsburgh in the playoffs. He's taken some the last week or so about Odell's right and Baker. And look, Steve Smith Sr. on this network did an entire rant on Thursday Night Football that Odell's leaving because Baker's an average player. I don't personally agree with that. I think he can play. I think they run because that's their philosophy.
What about those big spots, though? Like, give me that moment that Baker,
when he needs
to win.
At Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I thought he was really good in that
game. That's the only big spot I got.
But how many of them, though? Right? This is his fourth year?
Come on.
Yeah.
The Browns have had one playoff win in 30 years.
When you say 4 years, you gave me one moment.
Answer your question.
They took him number one, right?
You asked us.
Is Baker great?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he was the number one pick in his class, right?
Yeah.
I think he's the third best quarterback in his class.
Okay.
Right? I don't see it. I think they run the ball so much because they don't really trust him to go out and take on this team. Because the other guys, right? The other guys in his class, the quarterbacks.
Josh Allen, Lamar.
They do it. It's their team.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really Baker's offense? Is it his team? Let's say together. No.
And
it's Chubb's team, right? Mm-hmm. Offense.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's what's his value, right?
What's his value?
That's gonna happen.
Speak about it.
But the money is going to come. It's going to come down to what do you pay Baker Mayfield for what he does with that offense?
Or do you pay him anything at all?
I'm picking up everything she's putting down today.
I'm just, whoa. I'm not saying, I picked the Browns to go to the Super Bowl. I think they're a complete team.
I mean, all I'm saying is this. With a running game like that, and if you look at the history of football, you can put any quarterback in there to not turn the ball over to do that same stuff.
Case Keenum won the one game he played.
Just think of the history of football.
One of those quarterbacks that was in Baker's draft class had a tough day yesterday. One of those is just resoundingly better than Baker, apparently. Let's talk about Josh Allen. Let's get into it. We have to address it. One player's named Josh Allen, Joshua Patrick Allen on the left, Joshua no middle name Allen on the right. All right, so they meet, they play against each other. Certainly there would be no high-profile plays. Yes, I got to tell you, Scott Hansen was so hilarious on this. He went up to his high register like, and Josh Allen, sacks Josh Allen. It was unbelievable.
He loved that, right?
He did. I think it was his best day in red zone. It was so awesome. And not the best day for the Bills or for Josh Allen. The Jacksonville Jaguars defense was phenomenal. They were coached up. They were tough. They beat the hell out of the Bills offense. And they were the 32nd ranked defense in the league. 9-6 goes loose.
It wouldn't be a Monday at Good Morning Football without a little Nate Burleson. Let's welcome back our favorite triple threat, a CBS Morning co-host, contributor to the NFL Today, as well as NFL Network, the one and only Mr. Nathaniel.
Hello, Nate.
Eugene Burleson. Love having you on the show. I've got LaShawn McCoy right here as well. So let's get right to it. Earlier, we shared our espresso moments. Mine was from that same game. I picked Nick Chubb in that explosive run. What do you think woke you up?
Okay, I'll go from that same game as well. I'm talking about that Denzel Ward pick six.
Oh, yeah.
We know we call him the Warden, and he is a lockdown cornerback. But shout out to Denzel Ward, man. It's rare that you get a pick and then you could take it all the way to the crib. We're talking 99 yards. It was just a big-time game by the Browns after everything that we talked about last week. Odell Beckham being gone. Is it Baker? Is it Odell? Whose fault is it? You know what? As a team, collectively, they came out and they kicked butt. And let's just keep it real. Cincinnati's a really, really strong squad. So great job by the Browns, but more specifically, Denzel Ward was my espresso moment.
Nate, great to see you. It was great to see you on the CBS set yesterday. Aside from the espresso moment, we give out game balls on Monday. Who gets your game ball? We haven't given ours out yet. We're going to do it later in the show. Who gets the Nate Burleson one?
Yeah, I hear that you guys picked somebody that I wanted to. I won't give it away, so I had to switch it up. But I'm going with a guy that's deserving, Justin Herbert. You know, Justin Herbert had a great game. You know what I loved about his game? It wasn't that they had this cross-country road trip and they're playing in Philadelphia, which is tough to play. I mean, LaShawn could speak to it. There's so many teams that came from the West Coast and just got beat up because they couldn't either handle the team they were playing against or they couldn't handle the fan base. But Justin Herbert played well, threw the ball well. And then on top of that, in that final drive, I believe he had two quarterback sneaks to keep that drive going, to put them in position to win. So shout out to Justin Herbert, man. He deserves my game ball.
It's a great game ball, Nate. And again, for 5 years, we've been trying to get people to understand. You saw the catches, but did you pay attention to the fancy footwork? Nate, shout out to PL and tell us your favorite toe drag swag.
I like this setup, Kyle. I'm going with Baltimore Ravens pass catcher. All right, so let's go ahead and cue this up, man. It was one of the best catches of the weekend in the back of the end zone. Check out Lamar Jackson, though. He's going to step up in the pocket. The pocket collapses around him. This is Devin Duvernay. Tips it to himself and then turns around, finds the ground, and he gets that knee down. And as we know, whether it's a knee, a hip, an elbow, that counts as 2 feet. But how about that, though? Tipping it to himself, catching it, and then getting that knee down. Devin Duvernay with one great catch this past weekend. He wins the toe drag swag for the week for me. But hey, I want to jump in and ask my guy LaShawn a question, because you know oftentimes I don't get a chance to interview you. When we played against each other, we're talking Lions versus the Philadelphia Eagles in that Snow Bowl.
We're going back
some
years.
What do you remember about that game? What do you remember?
I remember there was so much snow, like you couldn't really run, you couldn't really see. It was a crazy game, man, and we found a way to win somehow, some way. You know what it was? I think it was just playing against Detroit. This son about the Detroit Lions, man. Hey, man. We get a win out of there. Any surface, any weather, any environment, we got a win.
Oh, man. You didn't have to go there. But listen, look at this dude, though. He's trying to Jason be modest. Mark. I don't know what type of cleats you put on. I joke and say you put on the Air Yoda Lehihus, because your cleats was digging into that ground while we were slipping all over the place. But it's crazy, though, because we walk out and the field is just covered. You can't even see the grass. Yeah. It's just all white. And this dude, LaShawn, was running through the white faster than Tony Montana in the last scene of Scarface. You know what I'm saying? You're like, Wild White Rock. Okay. Say hello to my juke move. And he was just shaking the snot sickles off of defenders. But LaShawn, that was one of the greatest games I've ever seen by a running back in those kind of conditions.
Oh, Nate, appreciate that, man. It was crazy because like even like the timeouts, they were like had the snow blowers to see what the first down was. That was crazy, bro.
Yeah. Hall of Fame. You talk about Hall of Fame. LaShawn McCoy deserves the Hall of Fame. That's a fact.
But I like where Nate's going with this one.
Nate, in all the games that your lovely wife, Atoya, and your children attended, did you ever sit in the upper row of any stadium ever?
Man, they did Jordan Love Mama dirty. Man, hey, listen, they got to stop that. They can't have her up there in the nosebleeds. No wonder Jordan Love was playing bad. He couldn't even see his mama.
Right.
There it is.
Yeah. Oh, no, she is happy, though. I give her that. She's excited.
Nate Burleson, you are the best. She is mad. We will talk to you later on this week. Have a fun one. We'll talk to you Friday with highlights from Thursday Night Football. Now, who stole the show in Week 9? You heard Nate dish out his game ball. We've got ours and plenty of highlights coming your way right after this. Welcome to Good Morning Football.
All right, you love a game against two teams that really need a win. And the Chargers come all the way from L.A. to Lincoln Financial Field. Justin Herbert gives a thumbs up, says we're ready to take this one. But the Eagles were game. It was really close. In a way, it might have been the best game of the weekend. Staley, Sirianni kind of lived up to the hype, but the Chargers win, Peter.
Yeah, the Giants taking on the Raiders. Obviously, we know a very, very difficult season for the Raiders players here that remain on this team. Raiders were only 1-for-6 in the red zone. They have now had 5 consecutive losses off a bye week. The Giants get the victory.
Fascinated to see what happens to the Raiders the rest of the season. I really don't know. And the Cardinals, look, they sit your two best players. You're going to take the loss here as an investment? No. Cardinals roll.
And that brings us to highlighting some of our best performances of the weekend. Guys who earned our game balls for week 9. Shregs, kick us off.
How about Colt McCoy?
Talk about it.
How about Colt? We got LeSean McCoy on the show.
He's my third cousin. He's my third cousin now.
Third cousin, Colt McCoy.
Dad's side.
Your dad's
side. My dad's side.
Your dad's side. Yeah. So you grew up, okay, and he was in West Texas somehow. Colt McCoy gets the nod. Everyone thought, all right, Kyler's going to go. He's going to go. Colt McCoy took snaps with the ones all week long and was awesome yesterday. It was precise. And I loved having Mark Sanchez on the call because Mark Sanchez also was like, and this is not a backhanded compliment, a great backup quarterback, like great in the room, beloved by guys, and when called upon, could always deliver. And Colt McCoy, he did one of these last year. He went into Seattle for the Giants in a game. He did it countless times in other locations. Look, this is a guy who's played behind Kirk Cousins, Robert Griffin III, Colin Kaepernick, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, insert Kyler, and he goes in there, and they don't miss a beat. I mean, Case Keenum 2 weeks ago when he came in on short notice to fill in for Baker and won a Thursday night game. I don't know if Colt McCoy has to win another game. He might not have to ever play again this season. Mm-hmm. That win alone was so huge. Colt McCoy, we see you to be ready and go when called available, especially with a team that's been ravaged with COVID. Staying out of that, he said in the pre-production meeting, and Mark Sanchez was telling it, he was like, I was in a separate room for my family just in case that I got this thing because I wasn't going to let my team down. Love Colt McCoy's performance. Colt, we see you. Great stuff from the 34-year-old veteran.
No Kyler, no DeAndre. They also lose Chase Edmonds at the beginning of this game, and it was huge. Colt did his thing, but James Conner really did his thing. You think I'm trying to suck up to you, Nick Chubb. Now I'm saying another Pitt running back.
Chase, he's from my hometown, Harrisburg.
Is that right?
Gotta give a shout out.
Well, Chase Edmonds was out, and it was the James Conner show. I love to see.
We think alike.
Yeah, he racked up 173 total yards, 3 touchdowns.
Wow.
The first time he's found the end zone 3 times in a single game in his entire career. I think it's pretty rare to score 3 touchdowns in a game. Guess how many times LeSean McCoy did it in his career?
Three
different times. Awesome. LeSean McCoy had 3 touchdowns in a game. But James Conner
did it.
This is about him.
That's right.
He's
getting
the game ball, and he was electric yesterday. He jump-started the whole offense. I think it's cool that he was kind of an afterthought as a free agent signing. We didn't really talk about it at the table. We didn't expect about Susan to be in a timeshare there with Chase Edmonds. He's not going to make a big impact. For him to make this big of an impact, and as Kyle alluded to, lead the entire league with touchdowns with 11, that's pretty cool.
JC.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into it. My game ball goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars' Josh Allen. It's probably a huge pain in the ass to have the same name as an NFL star. I really mean it. Sometimes you name your kid and you just hope there's not another kid in their class with the same name. He's got another Josh A in his class. It's a huge annoyance, and he came out yesterday and said, enough of this. I'm tired of being the other Josh Allen. But he's far from the only person I ever have to do this. First of all, last night, David Long had an interception for the Titans. There's a David Long on the Rams. They didn't even talk about that last night. We have some great ones. Go to 2005. Roy Williams versus Roy Williams.
Wow.
And the basketball coach wasn't even out there on the field. Okay, so there was 3. 1997. This is a better one. I like this one a lot. Quarterback Todd Collins versus linebacker Todd Collins. How about baseball? The 2020 NLCS saw Dodgers catcher Will Smith hit a home run off Braves pitcher Will Smith. It's the first time in MLB history that goes back 700 years where a guy with the same name has hit one off.
700.
I'm sure everyone will remember the 1991 New York City Council election in which Jose Rivera ran against Jose Rivera.
Nice.
The 2012 San Clemente City Council, Bob Baker versus Bob Baker. And you know when this happens a lot? Russian politics.
Okay.
2021
2021 Russian Legislative Assembly, Boris Vishnevsky ran against two other Boris Vishnevsky.
What?
And there's theories that they were changing their name and altering their appearance to look like the incumbent Boris Vishnevsky. Russian politics gets real. That's much different than Jacksonville football.
Yeah.
But I also do want to shout out Yale football head coach Tony Reno, who is married to a lovely lady named Tony Reno,
oh
and Madison Bumgarner, the San Francisco Giants pitcher, who allegedly once dated a girl in high school named Madison Bumgarner, which is absolutely impossible, and yet he did it. Young love, Madison Bumgarner, Josh Allen, my game.
I'm a fan of Hunter Renfrow on the Red Sox. I love his work.
Like him?
Oh, he's a star
player. They got to get him together.
There's two Hunter Renfrows.
What are the odds?
That's crazy.
God, that's great. Wow, that's crazy.
Yes.
Okay, well, my game ball doesn't have that. It's only one Teddy Bridgewater,
okay,
right?
Okay, that's right.
Louisville superstar. I'm going with Teddy Bridgewater. He went all the way to Dallas and kicked butt. All week they talked about how great the Cowboys offense was, on defense they're getting all these picks. You know, Diggs is taking stuff to the crib, et cetera, et cetera. He didn't care about none of that. Mm-hmm. They traded their best player, Von Miller, to the Rams, and all he did is came to Dallas and he put up some big numbers. He had 249 yards, he was 19 for 28, mm-hmm. and he threw a touchdown and he ran a touchdown.
Mm.
I'm loving what I see out of Teddy Bridgewater. I think that this team can make some different moves and win some more games. They're now with 5-4, and then that division is really close. The Chiefs are not blowing them away.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers are not blowing them away.
They're a half game up. AFC is wild.
Good job, Teddy Bridgewater.
Great job, Shady.
Tonight, we're wrapping up week 9. The Bears going to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Oh, boy. A little Monday Night Football. Peter, what are you looking for in this one?
The number one defense in the league are the Pittsburgh Steelers. The number 32 offense in the league are the Chicago Bears.
Oh, boy.
That's a great mixture.
Not a great recipe for Chicago. I want to see what Pittsburgh does here because they're hot in a way that is not traditionally hot. They're not lighting teams up. They're not blowing teams out. They're winning teams by one score, and they're doing it with defense and the running game. Let's see if this defense can carry them some more. It's in Pittsburgh. Terrible towels will be going. You'll hear Renegade, the whole thing. I've got the Steelers winning, but they don't blow teams out. They'll probably win by one score.
Mm. I'm looking at Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, and I imagine he's going to be looking across the field at Mike Tomlin tonight and be like, that's everything that we want to be. Sustained winning, a classic program. Mike Tomlin is a defensive coach. He coaches up that defense. Matt Nagy is an offensive coach. You heard what Peter just said about the offense. And I would also think Matt Nagy had to miss the last game. And if any time, because he had COVID, if any time he's had extra time on his hands to reflect or to game plan or brainstorm about some ingenuity with Justin Fields, this would be the week. A lot of eyes on him tonight. Can't get hammered, much less can't just have Justin Fields just stand there. I think it's a big night for Matt Nagy and the Bears coach. A central PA guy.
Yeah, well, and I know him very, very well.
Do you?
When I was with the Eagles, he was there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Extremely, extremely smart guy. But I'm going to go with the Steelers also, Peter. I think that they're playing with great defense. You're going against a rookie quarterback. He's not really efficient. He's not really playing well. He runs well. But I think they should get this win. I went to school in Pittsburgh, and I tell you what, when the Steelers got that win against the Browns, that lit another fire to that team, to that city. So I expect them guys to be having the towels running and racing and going crazy. And I feel like a big win. I think Mike Tomlin gets a big win tonight.
I'm told, and I have it on very good authority, that friend of the show, Brett Michaels, is going to be performing prior to tonight's game to honor active service duty members.
Nice.
Duty service members, rather, and veterans as part of the NFL Salute to Service. I also have it on really good authority. He'll be on our show on Wednesday.
Awesome.
So definitely watch that tonight, but absolutely watch that on Wednesday here on our show.
Brett Michaels
on our program. We'll be right back.